you know, in the past 1 year, we are doing stealth mode.
Yeah, yeah.
We are dealing with the government and enterprises. Mm. Indonesia is the biggest country in Southeast Asia with 278 million population.
Really?
Yeah, it's
Whoa.
Big. It's fourth in the world.
Space Monkeys blasting off with Anta. He is the founder of Mandala Chain and the CEO of Baliola. They're kind of like the tech company behind Mandala Chain. It's a very unique project with a use case for Polkadot tech stack that I don't think we're seeing anywhere else. Definitely not to this degree. We're going to dive in now. Anta, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's really an honor here, Jay.
Well, I'm glad that we met because I wasn't exactly anticipating that we would get this opportunity
soon. Let's go.
I think what everybody knows you for is you are working on the Indonesian government-backed chain.
If I say that back chain, I think it's quite... We cannot say that now.
Yeah.
But our use case basically is in Indonesia. And it's a focus on a government use case.
Yes, okay.
So what we are doing, like... I work with the government since in 2013, basically. So I'm helping a lot of city to starting on Smart City Initiative, being consultants with them.
Okay.
And I find out there's a lot of problem inside the government. Yeah, all the government have a problem with the IT, and especially in Indonesia, just like we starting a digital transformation is quite late from another country.
Okay.
So what we are seeing is every single government, they have a problem on data silos. So every single department has their own data, and each of them not talk with each other. When I'm asking why, the problem is each of the department have a problem to trust each other. This is the first problem.
Yes, okay.
It's the first problem. And then the next, when we diving on what is going on, so we're helping it's 10 cities to starting the initiative, including Denpasar City in Bali. Mm-hmm. So if you know the island of Bali, small island on the sort of Indonesia.
Because Indonesia is...
It's a big country. It's a,
tons
it's
of islands, right?
2,000. I think it's 2,000 island.
Okay. And those are like physical silos.
It's just physical silos. Yeah. This is what is going on.
Okay.
And they are trying to make it one, you know. They have a lot of law and, you know.
Wow, yeah.
To make it one. But until now, it's difficult to do that.
Sure.
And we see that it's not only about trusting. It's also about data structures is different. Every single department has their own data structures. And this is will have a problem to connect again.
Right. So what and would the health department on one island have a different data structure than one on another?
So remember, one island can be one province.
Yeah.
One island can be a lot of province.
I see.
So in one province, there is a lot of regency and city inside.
Wow.
So it's like a silos is like a decentralized, but they are working centralized, you know, this is what
I'm saying. Yes, that's fascinating. Okay.
Okay, this is not only talking about the data silos, the data structures, it's also have a problem, the same thing. So what we are trying to introduce to the government is we're seeing the technology, you know, blockchain is... Yeah, I'm falling in love in blockchain in 2018.
Mm.
Yeah, when I'm starting my first startup on blockchain, but suddenly I cannot continue my startup that time because there was no regulation in that time.
Okay.
And they put me our startup as a current fintech, and like, yeah, it was like ask us to putting a lot of money as a guarantee for the license itself. I cannot do that.
Okay. So, let's catch up here. So 2013, you're working with the government to help set up smart cities, which exposes you to the inefficiencies of government.
Yes.
Fast forward to 2018, you're building tech on blockchain, and you were lumped in with fintech, which had some financial barriers you couldn't get over. Is that the story? Okay.
Right. Spot on. So, So this is what we are, like, I closed that startup. But we're still continuing. The startup is about fraction property investment.
Hmm.
So it's like genuinely is fraction property ownership. But then we're changing to fraction property investment because there is no law in Indonesia that can be comply with fraction property investment.
Oh, okay.
So this is the different thing.
Interesting. So this is real world assets before real world assets
were
cool.
Yes, real world asset, yeah. The cool. time we are using like mechanisms of unique coin, you know, we're creating an asset that is unique, but the problem, yeah.
Like NFTs.
Like NFTs, but that time, I don't know what is NFTs.
Yeah.
About NFTs.
Right.
Yeah, but
well, what tech stack were you building on here?
Not yet. It's just a concept first.
I see concept
yeah. And all in still in Web 2, and all the asset is like we just want to when because it's focused on MVP first.
Yeah.
And there is already a you know a property. It's already like three real estate land that want to be fractionalized.
Okay.
So we just focus. Okay, just focus on the user experience.
Huh.
Okay, and then blockchain itself, okay, I'm hiring some of developers, let research on the blockchain side.
Yeah,
I'm still
yeah.
thinking using like a Ethereum basis at that time.
Sure.
But yeah, but cannot go through.
Okay.
So
got it. Wow. So that's 2018. Okay. So yeah. then what happened?
And then in 2020, COVID is coming, right?
Mm.
And then NFT is coming. That time, I believe that NFT is not about selling the digital asset only.
Hmm.
I'm saying that, okay, NFT can be a copyright
yeah.
for artists to selling digital, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to giving the narrative, like asking the, some of my friends in the government, in the community, because I'm back to Bali in that COVID. I'm living in Jakarta, so and then back to Bali in 2019
mm-hmm.
and stuck in Bali since that.
I see.
Because I cannot go anywhere. There's lockdown and everything.
Yeah.
And also I have a problem with my family business. So we need to be in Bali in that time.
Yeah.
So, and then suddenly one of the high rank Denpasar city officers, he is the head of creative agency, put it on the newspaper, digital newspaper, about NFT can be potentially be a copyright for artists.
Mm.
That time, you know, there's a lot of artists in Indonesia, a lot of, in Bali especially.
Really?
Painters, digital illustrators, you want to find, we just throw a rock and then we find artists. There is
wow.
what happened in Bali.
Okay.
So this is what we are seeing. There's a problem there. When COVID is coming, the artists or the painters didn't get money.
Sure.
Because no one is coming to Bali. They basically using like a, what do you call it? They're putting in front of their door, the painters, and then, you know, the tourists coming, oh, I want to buy this one.
I see. Yeah, yeah.
Nothing happened.
Ah.
The government trying to a lot to like promoting because artists have a problem. They cannot pay anything. There's no money, no income.
Hmm.
They're trying to doing on a digital. But what happened is, they're doing in digital with social media application, putting there all of their picture.
Yeah.
Suddenly, someone crop their pictures.
It. Yeah.
And then put it as NFTs.
Yeah.
It's happened.
I see.
So this okay. is like, this is a problem.
Yeah.
There is why this officer saying that NFT can be a copyright.
Hmm.
I call these officers.
Hmm.
Sir, we need to meet.
Hmm.
We are our first project name is Kepeng. That is initiators. We're starting with that, and then we go to the officers and explaining about NFT. And the officers don't know about blockchain. Basically, they just know that NFT have a potential. And I'm explaining about cryptocurrency, NFT, everything,
mm-hmm.
and you say, okay, now we need to meet with the mayor.
Okay,
this is like. Really? I mean, I'm speaking for 6 hours with him.
Okay.
You know, and then, and the next week I'm meeting with the mayor.
Sure.
And then explaining about what is the potential of blockchain and how is it. And I'm so surprised that when we talk about NFTs that time with the mayor, he suddenly like, okay, I know about NFT. I heard it. And I also have the same idea that NFT has but I don't know about blockchain.
Hmm.
Explain me about blockchain. And then I'm explaining about how blockchain will be supporting the government and everything. And then in 2021, we're launching Bali Blockchain Center. So this is like a laboratorium. It's like a community hub
Yeah.
That helping the government giving us a building in Bali.
Yeah.
And they asked us to creating an irregular event, educating community as a central of information about blockchain and crypto.
I've seen photos of this space. It's pretty big and beautiful.
we are really, you know, blessed with this. And starting with that, everything is like rolling up. And we have a lot of door. The government opened us a lot of door.
Yeah.
To every single department, to every single association and university in Bali. So we have signed agreement with 13 universities already.
13 universities, wow.
And outside of Indonesia, outside of Bali, we have 10, another 10 to like total 23.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're starting with a roadshow. We're doing online roadshow that time.
Uh-huh.
And then last year, we're doing a physical roadshow. So we go to every single campuses and introducing blockchain. That blockchain is not only owned by IT guy.
Yeah.
Blockchain is also, it's not about technology only. It's about belief. It's about philosophical. It's about community. So it's not only about, you know, technical side.
So
there's a lot of things.
Yeah, right.
So starting with that, a lot of like university students understand about blockchain. They want to know, they want to learn everything about that. And we starting the project about NFT project in Bali, doing like with chocolate, NFT chocolate. When you bought NFT, you will have a physical plant tree because the fee of the NFTs, you sell it. You will giving the farmer to planting the tree and handle the tree. So 30% of the tree will, the benefit of the tree will go to you as the owner of NFTs. We sold 131 NFT at the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, we doing that all and helping the artists because the NFT artists also who creating the NFT will get a share of the artists. So we're doing that. We now have 127 artists behind us.
Okay.
Yeah, helping us.
So that started in 2021. Now it seems to have gotten a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you're starting to build the infrastructure to solve some of those problems you saw 10 years ago.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
bring us there.
In 2022, I'm my company, we launched a company that called Bali Online 2021. The same time with Bali Blockchain Center. So 4 months before Bali Blockchain Centers, we have this company.
Okay.
And then in that time, I'm meeting with Republic Rupiah. Republic Rupiah is a fast-growing blockchain media.
Yeah.
At the time. And now they have like 150K subscribers, basically. And they are like, they are not talking about buy this, sell this.
No.
They are talking about the project basis.
Yep.
And then we are saying that we are meeting to each other, me and Michael, the CEO. And then we just like click. I'm focused on the business side because I focus on implementation, adoption. I'm not doing crypto that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing crypto starting in 2021.
Okay.
The first asset I bought in 2021. I'm starting blockchain in 2018, but the first asset I bought in 2021.
Yeah.
So I'm starting in the technology, so not in the crypto side.
Uh-huh.
So and then we see that what we are doing, both of us, that Michael and Republic Rupiah is focused on the media, how to giving the right information to public, to community. And we are focused how to like introducing blockchain to enterprise and government.
Yeah.
We're saying our vision is mass adoption. So basically, we want to adopt. We want to creating Bali as the hub. Indonesia is the biggest country in Southeast Asia with 278 million population.
Really?
Yeah, it's
Whoa.
Big. It's fourth in the world. And also, we have more than 64% of our population is native digital. So what do you expect? We have a lot of adoption. And we have 77% internet adoption. So
wow.
This is big. Big market, basically.
Yeah.
We have now, we have 18.2 million crypto holders in Indonesia.
Okay.
With transaction almost $7 billion last year.
So part of what Mandala Chain is doing is serving or working to serve the government.
One of the case, yes.
Okay, let's talk about that first. So what does that look like?
So based on what we are doing together, and then we decided to creating infrastructures, because when we have Bali blockchain centers and we go into every single department again in the government, we're seeing there is the problem of interoperability, the problem of data protection, security itself, and then that privacy and the data owners, this is still have a problem. Like, it's not changing. From 10 years ago to 2023 and 2022, nothing is changing. It's still, there's still a problem.
Yeah.
So what we are doing that we are giving them the what do you call it? The first time that we do is we educate them how the benefit of blockchain. Mm. This is the first time. I will not say that everything going good.
Okay.
The first time we're creating the meetup for the government, only 3 officers coming.
I see.
So it's just not everything's good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, okay, but we believe, I don't care. 3, 2, 1 people, that 1% that come, I will give him the best.
Of course.
Introduction of the blockchain.
Sure.
Okay. And then 3 people, I'm explaining about blockchain. And then suddenly we got invited to the department. When we explain to a whole department that time about blockchain, this is an ICT department in Denpasar. So when I explain in this one, and they said, okay, what we do next? He said that.
Whoa.
So I said that, okay, the first thing that you need to do, sir, is create the infrastructure first. The infrastructure, protect your data itself, let create a standardization of all the data. Every single vendors that want to access the data of government need to be following certain rule, because this data is not belong to the government. Government is only data custody. The data is belong to the citizen. So this is what we want to giving them.
And they seem to agree with this idea?
They really agree, because the regulation itself, it's like that basically. But the problem is in Web2, there is no rule, no tools to doing this.
That's right, yeah.
So this is why blockchain needed to be here.
So did you build a digital ID system, or what did you have to build?
So on Denpasar City, we are now like creating, because you know the budget and everything, we need to creating a plan and everything. So we are now focused on creating a blueprint for this.
Yeah.
But there was another use case. So this is one, Denpasar City.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with this, we got another use case of government. This is national. So with Pandi, Pandi is a .id top-level domain. If you see the domain .id, go.id, or aco.id, everything .id is belong to Indonesian. It's country top-level domain.
Yeah.
Even Coinbase using cb.id
okay.
for their ID.
Sure.
So it's basically, we meeting with this guy, Pandi, they call it, the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So with 2 million users, a lot of users over there.
Yeah.
So we want to binding digital identity. We create an identity that binding with domain, with Web2 domain.
Yeah.
Web3 formal identity being one.
Uh-huh.
So this is what we are doing now.
Wow.
So we are now on a way to creating the wallet, identity wallet.
Okay.
We're also using Polkadot stack technology, including Kilt. So we are discussing.
So you're just bringing Kilt over.
Kilt has
a solution.
Yes, why we need to? This is what I like about the Polkadot ecosystem.
Right, yeah,
you know, we are helping each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're starting to discussing now with the Kilt and want to using their DID standardization, and then creating like putting another stack that we need for this domain.
Okay.
So we hope that we will launch our wallet maybe in this year.
Okay.
We call it ID wallet. It's for Indonesian citizen. Now it's only for Indonesian citizens.
So every Indonesian citizen could have a .id address?
Yes, e.id.
E.id.
Yeah, electronic ID. So
yeah, okay.
For example, like UJ, you will say j.e.id.
Yes, I understand.
And you can binding it with your ENS, with Ethereum's address, Polkadot address, and then with your formal identity.
Right.
If Indonesia, we have national ID card, right?
Yeah.
So we want you like binding it.
Sure.
Yeah. Pandi, this organization, is really well respected
Okay.
We're respected and have a good connection to all the government.
So you can do like a KYC thing with
them.
They
will do it.
Yeah.
They will
yeah.
helping us. And this is will be because Indonesia already have like GDPR.
Yeah.
They call it PDP.
Okay.
Yeah, personal data protection.
Yeah.
PDP.
Wow.
In 2020, I think. In 2020. Mm-hmm. They already doing the thing. So the data, we have a protection of the data. The problem is for PDP implementation, a government don't have the tools, the right tools to do it.
I understand, yeah.
So this is why we're creating this.
I'm blown away. Okay.
Yeah,
so these are a few examples of use cases at the government level that you're working on.
Yep.
Mandala Chain, any services for what you would call retail or the citizens?
Yeah, we also creating, for developers itself, we're creating the tools, developer tools that call Datu. You really, the name is like, it's strange, right?
Tattoo?
Datu.
Datu.
So the name is Mandala Chain, and then we have Datu.
Okay.
Datu is Sanskrit.
Okay.
Basically, it's a base of everything. It's Datu. So we're creating this for helping developers, Web2 developers precisely, to using our chain without need to like learn a lot about blockchain. This is using the API. This is like API Oracle, basically.
Wow.
But more than that, we want you developers who can interact, creating everything on top of the Mandala Chain with this Datu. It also will be using by the government developers maybe, or a lot of them. So we designed this for the Web2,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, understand.
Yeah, and then we also have, or we'll have a, like a wallet itself. It is not wallet, we call it passport. It's just a user's, like a Republic passport, basically we call it. So it is like a user's who understand about blockchain itself. And we also have a hub. A hub is our portal. So ecosystem portal, basically. And then inside of, on the enterprise level, the Ministry of Health in Indonesia is already putting like a mandate that in 31st of December 2023, no written medical record is accepted. It will be illegal to hospital and clinic using written medical record. So now they force all the hospital and clinics to creating electronic medical record.
I see.
Then the problem is coming up.
Right.
Who hold the data?
Well, exactly.
How about that? Can we trust the hospitals?
No, we can't.
So how about the PDP? If hospitals do that, they will get fined.
Ah, okay.
So this is another problem coming up.
Okay.
So, we are discussing, like starting in in July 2023, we discussing with a lot of insurance company, a lot of hospitals, and then we have like 7 hospitals like already discussing with us, and they are agreed to trying to be our POC. We're creating they call medical blockchain.
Yeah.
It's basically only a small module for medical record, but it's backed by blockchain.
Yeah.
And the users will have a passport. This is like a MedBlock passport.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like a mobile apps. It's dApps, mobile apps that they can, you know, control their medical record, giving a consent to the hospitals. Yeah, something like that.
And so that blockchain is underneath it is Mandala.
Under is Mandala chain, and the stack will be on Polkadot stack. We are basically Polkadot substrate based blockchain.
Right.
So this is it.
What about financial use cases? Are you finding anything in this direction yet?
We're launching up for DeFi. We will have DEX inside of Hyperliquid Ecosystems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we call it the Republic DEX.
Oh, wow.
No, RDX.
Okay.
Just waiting.
Okay.
We're still in development.
Uh-huh.
And also for the enterprises, now we just discussing with Join. Join is a startup in Indonesia that a core banking for cooperative. So they already have 90 cooperative as their client. They are SaaS, by the way. So they want you using blockchain, Mandala Chain, to be like a transaction-based. You're recording the transaction, save their data, doing the identity. So it's focused on that.
Super.
Our developer is just starting now. Discussion and consulting how to integrate this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is what we want to do.
So let's talk about the choice, the decision to build on the Polkadot tech stack? Because I'm sure you had your pick. what were some other tech stacks that you were looking at?
And can I say the name?
I don't know. Can you?
Yeah, before we're doing Solidity, we are thinking, because we all of our developers is basically come from our academy.
Yeah.
So our academy is first on 2021 is Solidity.
Of course.
So yeah. and then in 2022 I meet with Polkadot ambassadors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is starting with. So I get meeting with Polkadot ambassadors, then Asics and Gabo.
Yeah.
And then when Asics and Gabo is planning about Polkadot, how it be, I love the vision that is no one blockchain for everything.
Yeah.
And I just, boom.
Wow.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. This is the right one.
Super.
You cannot making one blockchain and it's like can solving everything in the world.
Right.
No, man.
No.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Because I'm working with the government, I know that every single department, they have their own governance. They have their own how to they work with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the thing that needs to be the same is the protocol itself.
Mm-hmm.
But everything inside can be flexible.
Right.
So and then I see the stack, the technology, the substrate itself, how they like, oh, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we decided, okay, let's go with Polkadot stack, with Mandala chain. This is our first decision.
So I know you Mandala is going for a parachain slot.
Yes.
Right, so you're going for that. But in the future, you could see all these different divisions of the government having their own parathreads, really, with their own governance and,
What we are calling that we want to creating, because we already say also like giving an advising to the government, it's impossible you want to create a national blockchain. I mean, impossible.
Yeah.
We try it like, what do you want to try?
Hmm.
One data?
Well, that's it.
Not happen.
Yeah.
What it's better that you're creating like a federated blockchain. Maybe this is better. Every single government will have like a small governance. So it's sub governance, and then like there is a bit a bigger one, and then they're giving in. I think it's now how it works. So
yeah,
they are doing decentralized by using centralized technology. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. So what we are doing to introducing is you are doing decentralized, let being decentralized, but still connected each other.
Well, that's kind of the interesting thing about this choice here. If you're using Solidity technology, I mean, obviously you wouldn't be on Ethereum because it'd be insanely expensive, but you'd basically have a private blockchain. Somebody would have to run that blockchain, right?
Yes.
But by being on Polkadot here, you actually have this sort of censorship resistant, resilient infrastructure that you're building on.
Yes.
That will outlast any elected government.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. We also are EVM compatible, by the way.
Oh, okay.
We also EVM compatible. So because we try to helping the government to create their own blockchain, and then they connected each other.
Mm-hmm.
All of the transaction will be protected and secured in Polkadot. In Polkadot. So this is the idea, basically.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
So what are the biggest barriers to achieving? Because what it seems like to me is that the opportunities continue to grow. The vision then continues to grow. But I'm wondering if maybe, I mean, is there a limit to your capacity to build? Or what are you finding in way of barriers?
The barrier one is, it's if you're talking about the capacity of the build, definitely yes. We need a lot of developers. And blockchain developers based on substrate in Indonesia, it's not quite a lot.
Yeah.
So that's why we are creating academy for that. But the real boundaries is the knowledge. It's really, really like need a lot of time to explaining blockchain.
You mean to the users?
To the government. It's not the users.
Mm.
Yeah, the users, basically, we have a lot of people. Like, we are already creating. Our idea is how to the end users using dApps without changing their experience.
Yeah, they don't even need to know.
They don't need to know about there is a blockchain behind it.
Yeah.
They don't need to know that.
Yeah, yeah.
If they want to know, good. They're joining to the community.
Sure, sure.
Let's grow.
Uh-huh,
but if not, just benefit, just feel the benefit.
Okay.
This is good enough.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have elderly citizens and they need to be able to just use it, right?
Yeah, just like use it for then. And we also having like, if you want to, you elderly, you don't want to using your wallet, do you have someone that can sign for you?
Mm-hmm.
So we are thinking to that also.
Of course.
Wow. Yeah, because it cannot be like, it's exclusively for people that now.
Of course.
We will that.
Yeah.
Blockchain will that if we do that.
Mm.
That. no mass adoption.
Mm-hmm.
It's only us. It's not good. Even though that we know that the future is the youngest, but still.
Yeah.
It's still.
We can't leave people behind.
We cannot leave people.
No. Yeah. I understand.
Never leave someone behind, right?
Sure.
So this is what we want.
Wow.
So yeah, we're trying to, the adoption itself is a problem. It's like explaining to the government why blockchain, why the difference between blockchain and crypto. This is the first one, the boundaries. That's why we are going to every single department and ministry in Indonesia, and we creating the first one, we're creating a class.
Hmm.
This is the first approach that we are doing. We're creating a blockchain bootcamp for government. We're doing on October last year. This is the first ever, and I'm really proud of this. That's why I want to speak at it.
You know? Wow, what happened at the bootcamp?
It's like seven department coming.
Okay.
Seven department coming.
Wow.
There is like, we not speak about what is blockchain. We speak about how you can implement in blockchain in your department.
Mm.
And then, yeah, I'm also want to say that our academy team is quite solid. So our academy team built BIC, Blockchain Implementation Canvas. So it's basically like a canvas that can helping you to mapping. It's like man mapping.
Yeah.
How you can implementing blockchain in your department.
Hmm. Yeah.
Each use case.
Hmm.
And in that time, we 3 days bootcamp, full 3 days, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m., 3 days.
Wow.
And we are explaining about what is blockchain. We even explaining about how blockchain in it's working in outside of Indonesia, how many country already going to blockchain. We're explaining to the government officers. And then starting that, they're happy. Because they just got the information that they deserve. You know, it's not only about crypto. We even don't talk about crypto.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's no point to talk about crypto.
Hmm.
But we are explaining there how, and in some, and we also explaining Polkadot in that time, about the government, governance, you know, the Open Gulf. We explaining that also to the audience.
Okay, yeah.
So this is what we're doing.
So this brings me to the next question. You, Mandala is going for... Parachain slot on Polkadot. Are you going to do a crowd loan?
Yes, yes.
Really? So it's anybody can contribute?
Absolutely. We are doing a crowd loan also.
Okay. And what's the incentive for contributing? You're giving away Mandala token. What's the token called, by the way?
Kepeng. KPG. Kepeng.
Kepeng.
Kepeng, yeah.
Okay.
You want to know the story what this Kepeng is?
Yes.
This is a currency. This is a traditional ancient currency of Indonesia before.
That's cool.
And it's still used in Bali.
Oh.
And as a spiritual currency. It's come from China.
Oh, really?
And Japan.
Okay.
Yes, as a token, basically.
What was it made out of?
There's a lot of, there is from metal, nickel, some of the nickels, and some of them is gold, silvers, bronze, like that.
Okay.
It's still using it now.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we are using this, changing from the traditional currency.
Yeah.
Want to be on cryptocurrency.
Right.
Crypto
did side. I catch you right? Did you say it's now it's like a spiritual currency? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, we're using this for every single, traditional ceremony in Bali.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Okay. So contributors to the crowd loan will get some of this token.
Yes.
And... anybody in the world can contribute to the crowd loan. Anybody in the world can hold this token. So how does the world from that point interact with the Mandala chain?
In our chain, we also have smart contract capability. So there is public chain they call Utama. So Utama Network, Utama Mandala is our public chain. They have also like a smart contract. And the private one, it's called Madhya Mandala. So this is Madhya Network. So it consists of federated blockchain, basically, it inside. So what we are doing, like, we open for the project. We are searching now for the project. Like, for example, we have a real-world asset project now that we'll be launching and be joining our network. There's also some of application dApps that is joining too. We also have DEX that can be using by everyone. So this is what we are doing.
Wow.
So basically, Mandala chain consists with three entities. So there is Baliola as We are the technical...
The builders.
Mm-hmm. We also have Republic Labs. There is our arm, our marketing media arms, and that have more than 250,000 followers, 60,000 active monthly active users inside, and most of them is in Indonesia and in Australia and around the world, some of them. So they are focused on B2C. So they are searching for the public and retail use case to putting a mandala chain. In Baliola, we focus on B2G and B2B market.
Understood. So
that's why we are incorporated in Indonesia, because this is what we are doing now. So it's need to be legal.
Right.
So this is what we are doing.
Right.
So
but all of this sits on top of the mandala chain, right?
All of it sits on top
of the... You don't have a separate blockchain. It's all there.
No. So every time that we are using this technology, we are... give it back as a liquidity to Treasury. We have the mechanisms like that.
Oh, yeah. Tell me a little bit about the tokenomics there. So you have a Treasury that's...
Yeah, I have a Treasury. So every single... we actually like a license to the Mandala Chain Foundation.
Okay.
Using it. So this is how we are doing. Because we... What we believe that this market, because since we focus on the government and enterprises, they still on the conservative ways you're doing using this.
Okay, so the token is mostly like a utility token,
and
gas,
governance,
and governance as well. Do governance control that treasury?
Yes, absolutely.
They will, yes,
yeah,
okay.
They will.
Fine.
But now it's still on the foundation side.
Yeah,
because the first time of the network, it always be like
You got to ease into it, right?
Ease into that.
Wow.
Step by step.
This is such a great story, because I feel like a lot of the use cases that you're actually deploying today, many blockchain builders in the world can only dream of it, right? You know how many, you can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody talk about the big idea of changing the US healthcare system with blockchain.
You know,
I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but here we have this opportunity. You have this opportunity to actually implement it and actually have it used. It's fantastic.
Hopefully everything is going well.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Just check out in our Twitters. Maybe we'll announcing something inside.
Okay.
So, yep.
Hey, when does that crowd loan happen?
Just follow our Twitters.
We will give announcement's you, coming.
Yes, announcement is coming.
Okay.
Yeah, we will like announcement. You know, in the past 1 year, we are doing stealth mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because we are dealing with the government and enterprises. So though we don't want to be so, you know.
Of course.
We need to creating our core infrastructure first and make it happen before everything is rolling.
That's right.
So this is what we are doing on stealth mode. And in a couple year, in a couple month, we will have announcement for our public testnet. Yep. There's a lot of that.
Okay.
Just follow our Twitters.
And to thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. 100. Okay.